Good morning, everyone. Well, once again, I'd like to thank Mark and the rest of the elders for giving me this wonderful opportunity to minister the Word. I love the Word. Do you love the Word? And today we're going to continue with our Jesus, Jesus, Jesus series. Today's part six. And today we will be speaking on Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Say it with me, Jesus, the Prince of Peace. Amen. So actually, I would like to pray before we begin. So Father, I just thank you. I thank you for open hearts. I thank you for open minds. And I thank you that your word will accomplish what it needs to accomplish this morning. Simple as that. In Jesus' name. Amen. Turn in your Bibles with me to Isaiah chapter 9. And then if you found that already, you can also just bookmark 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Are you there? All right. Verse 6 of Isaiah chapter 9. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness. From that time on and forever, the zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. Now let's swing over to 2 Corinthians 5:17. Are we there? Wonderful. So starting at verse 17. And I need to get there. Verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. And we'll stop there. And so we think about why did Jesus come to earth? What was his plan? What was his purpose? And we know from the very beginning in Genesis that Adam and Eve, because they sinned, there's this big separation between man and God. And so the Father had to send his Son to earth to die on a cross. But most important to me is that he arose and now is seated in heavenly places and we're with him. And so there's total separation from the world. And man lived in rebellion to God. We lived in rebellion to God. Let's not pretend like there was, like we were in this perfect unity with God all of our lives. We weren't. At least I wasn't. And so we can see, the first thing we're going to look at is that Jesus makes peace between man and God. Then the first point I want to make is that Jesus brings reconciliation. In Colossians chapter 1, 19 to 20, it says this, For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on a cross. And so we see that Jesus brought peace between man and God by the cross. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Starting at verse 11. It says, "Therefore remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who called themselves the circumcision, that done in the body by the hands of men. Remember that at the time you were separate from Christ, excluded from the citizenship in Israel and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you once were far away and have been brought near through the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing in his flesh the law with its commandments and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new man out of the two, thus making peace, and in this one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit." And so we see that Jesus' sacrifice was the atonement. And because of what the cross accomplished, there was peace now between man and God. We were reconciled with the Father. And when we think about that, when we ponder on that, it's a beautiful thing. He created peace between man and God. In Romans 5, verse 1, and then 7 to 9, it says this: "Therefore, since we have justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." While we were still sinners, while we were out there doing our own thing, thinking the way we wanted to think, walking the way we wanted to walk, talking the way we wanted to talk, while we were still sinners, Jesus came and died on a cross for us. And not just for us, but for this whole world. For those that aren't even born yet, he's died for them. So the second point is that now we are reconciled. We are reconciled. In Joel chapter 2, verse 13, it says, to rend your hearts, or let's just read it. It says, rend your hearts, not your garments, but... Joel chapter 2. Where's Joel? Joel was here, wasn't he? Joel chapter 2, verse 13. So it says, "Rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love. And he relents from sending calamity." And so we see the word rend your heart. For those of us that don't know what the word rend means, is this: to rend means to tear or to rip to shreds. And back in Jewish tradition, when a person would mourn, they would tear or rip off their clothes or rip off their garments as an outward sign of mourning. But what the scripture is saying here now is, listen, no longer forget about tearing off your garments. Forget about ripping to shreds your garments. For what I want is your heart. What I want is your heart. Because the Bible also says that a broken and a contrite heart I will not despise. And so the Father, ever since the beginning of time, has been after man's heart, reconciling man's heart back to the Father. And one of the great stories that I'm sure most of us maybe have taken a look at is with the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15. And we won't read it. But this prodigal son, father gave money to one son, one to another. One of them went off doing his own thing, squandering his money. The other one was still at home. And the one thing about the prodigal son is that he went through life. He went through worldly things because he thought he can find his peace in worldly things. And the one thing we have to understand about if you find your peace in worldly things, guess what? There is an enemy named the devil. And so what the devil will do is if he knows that your peace is in earthly things, then when he takes your earthly things, then he'll also take your peace. So let's not have our peace in earthly things. Our peace comes from Jesus Christ. Our trust comes from Him. And so with the prodigal son, it was three things. He returned, he was restored, and then he was reconciled to his father. And it's the same with us when we were in the world and we came to know Christ. We returned, we were restored, and we were reconciled with the Father. And so that brings us to second thing is that Jesus brings peace into our hearts and minds. And before we get into that, I don't know how many of you know that, or at least for if you ever had the opportunity to preach or just minister in whatever capacity, that's whatever you're preaching on is what you're going to be tested on. And I'm jumping ahead of myself, but we'll get there. But I just wanted just to lay that down. In John, let's turn to John chapter 14, verse 27. John 14. Verse 27. Are you there? Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled. And do not be afraid. And so Jesus begins, before he goes to the cross, he starts to tell his disciples, he says, listen, I'm going away, but I'm leaving my peace with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world does, but how I give it to you. And so reading the scripture, we notice that there's two types of peace. There's a peace that the world gives, and then there's a peace that Christ gives. And so when we look at world peace and we look at the peace that Christ has given us, what's the difference? What's the difference in that peace? And it's this, is that the difference is what your peace is born from. Depends where your peace is born. Where your peace is born from. Is it born of the spirit or is it born of the flesh? And so world peace is this. Is that the atmosphere around you has to be nice and perfect. Nothing needs to be invading it. The children are listening. cars are running well. House is in order. My job, I have nothing to worry about my job. Everything has to be perfect around me. That's worldly peace. But guess what? If we have that kind of peace, if we think that is our peace, we are carnal minded. Because carnal minded people think that that is their peace. The atmosphere has to change around us in order for me to have peace. And so listen to this. If we let our peace be predicated by someone else's actions, we are carnal minded. We are carnal minded. And I've experienced that this week. It doesn't mean that you're a bad person. It doesn't mean that you're an evil person. You just react to external stimuli. You react. And the bad thing about reacting to external stimuli is that when the drama of the world comes and you get frustrated, you get anxious, you get worried, you get depressed, you get frustrated, if I haven't said frustrated before. A couple times, all right. The thing is that when the beat of that song comes on, guess what? The devil knows to play that song in your life. He knows to play that song in your life. It's exactly the same thing he did with Solomon. And he wondered what could he cut off from Solomon for him to lose his peace. And he figured it out. And he attacked that. And guess what? Samson. Yeah, they all start with S, right? But yeah, Solomon did have issues. But the thing is that it's the same thing what's going on today. Is that the devil's just waiting to see where he can attack your peace. Where he can attack your peace. And in Philippians 4 to 6 to 7 it says this: do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends or passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Because the thing we have to understand is the more you worry, the more the enemy wins. The more you worry, the more the enemy wins. So say it with me. Don't worry. Don't worry. Don't worry. No, there's no rap thing going on there. Which brings me to this. I'm glad I have time. So this week, or for the last 3 weeks, for those of you that are on Facebook and I have you as friends, you saw. For the last 3 weeks, I believe. About that. I've been having a car problem. And my car problem is this. I didn't have a car. And so, this is the story. It was our anniversary, Trish and I's. And I woke up in the morning and I was like, babe, I'm going to go to Tim Hortons, because her love language is coffee. And I'm going to give you a nice big, what is it now? Probably a large coffee. Got in my car, went to Tim Hortons. And you know when you say that would never happen to me, or the worst thing that can happen to you at Tim Hortons is what? Your car breaks down right at the window. And so what happens? I'm there and I'm like, yes, thank you. Here's your dollar, whatever it is. And, cause that's just not what we do. And they're taking kind of long cause they messed up my order. And so I put the car in park cause I didn't, you know, fumes and, you know, I want to be pleasant to the environment. Yeah. And once I did that, the car just shut off. And I said, oh my gosh. And then what's the next worst thing that can happen? The lady at the window goes, are you having issues with your car? And I said, no. I restarted the engine. It worked, praise God. And I peeled out of Tim Hortons. Only to get to, but then the whole time I was at a stop, my car's like, doo, 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 and I'm like, oh, this isn't good. And I knew that this is going to be very expensive, whatever it is. And so, so then we reach right to the front of our house, going through the stop sign, and I'm like, yes, I'm home. And I'm like, my car shuts off. And I'm just coasting. I don't have enough room. I don't even have enough acceleration to put into during my driveway. It stops right in front of my neighbor's driveway, in the middle of the road. But once again, I turned it off, restarted the engine. It worked. Was able to go to park my car in the driveway. I told Trish about it. You know, I shed some. Happy anniversary, yeah. Here's a coffee. By the way, we need a new car. And so for the last 3 weeks, we've been just doing our homework, car shopping, doing what normal people do when they want to get a car. However, there is a big debate in our household of whether to buy new, whether to buy old. And yes, I sent it out on Facebook and appreciated everybody's feedback. You just gotta love Facebook because you write something and everybody has opinion. You know. That's great. Yeah. But it's just one of those things you just wanted to test. Like, let's see what ideas are up there. Even what craziness is up there. And so the big debate happened was for the last 3 weeks. Until on Friday, the whole objective was we were gonna go car shopping and just pick something because I need something before Trish goes back to school off of mat leave. And so we took Olivia to drop the girls at school, and then we were coming back here because we were going to go to Honda, and then we actually turned into the parking lot here and had really intense fellowship. Yeah, you know, we had an argument in the parking lot. Okay. Let's call it what it is. And we had to decide, really, do we want new, do we want used? And that whole drama. And, I mean, it was resolved. We decided what we wanted. However, the whole time, there was no peace in my heart. And I'm telling you, even with Trish and I, it was almost like we were going to have heart attacks because there's no peace. And then, of course, the one thing is I'm preparing, and then the Lord speaks to my heart on Thursday night, and He says this, the reason why you don't have peace is because you have pride. And it was such a dagger in my heart, because all I wanted the whole time was a new car. I wanted my new car. I wanted it. Nobody was going to tell me that I can't get my new car. And then the Holy Spirit just spoke to me and said, you don't want a new car for a new car, but you want it because of status. You want it because of what everybody's going to think when they see your brand new car and you sitting behind the wheel of your brand new car. And I know I'm taking a lot of time on this story, but this is actually our life, daily. It's my life. And it's always the battle between peace and the world's peace. Spirit peace versus worldly peace. In Matthew 6, 28 to 34, are you with me? It says this. And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow? They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? O you of little faith. O me of little faith. So do not worry saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things. Worldly people think like that. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And this is actually one of the scriptures my mom always used to just tell me, day in and day out, stop worrying. Don't you know that worrying has enough trouble? That each day is, you know, there's enough worry and you not need to worry. And I was like, okay. But I just need two people, Alan and Ken. I just need you to help me with something. Yeah, just follow me. I just need you guys to just help me something. Don't look at me like I'm crazy. And so what you see here is that these are these things. And notice that when I'm pursuing God, when I'm pursuing His kingdom, these things are following me. I'm not pursuing these things. But these things are following me. And it comes to a point when these things catches up to you and it overtakes you. And that's how it is when you seek first the kingdom of God. When you seek first, when you're running after the kingdom, you don't need to go. He already knows what you need. He already has you in His mind. He already has you. We need to seek first His kingdom. And guess what? When Trish and I did that, when we decided that we were going to seek first His kingdom, His will, His way of doing things. Guess what? We got a car. And then we thought, wow, this is a nice car. And it was, and it is. But guess what? We thought it stopped there. But then we get a call saying, guess what? I just this minute, we just got an upgrade to the car that you want. And so guess what? I'm going to give that to you. And you're my first phone call. And I don't know if you guys seem very quiet, but I'm pretty excited. Because when you seek first the kingdom of God, when you seek His peace, when you seek His kingdom, His way of doing things, not my way, not my peace, not the peace that the world gives, but the way that He gives it to me. Then guess what? His blessings just overtake you. You don't have to strive for it. We don't have to strive for it. He already knows what you need. He already knows. But all He's asking is for you to seek first His kingdom, His way of doing things. Isaiah 26, 3 to 4 says this. You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord Himself, is the rock eternal. You'll keep your mind in perfect peace. Second point is this. Jesus brings comfort. And so why do we have all these anxieties, these frustrations, fear, depression? And as simple as this is because we allow it. We allow it. And so what causes us to have the anxieties, the frustrations, the fear, is because we've taken our eyes off of Jesus. We haven't sought first His kingdom, His peace. In 2 Corinthians 3:5, it says this. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves receive from God. For just as we share abundantly in the sufferings of Christ, so also our comfort abounds through Christ. Aren't you happy that He comforts us? He comforts us. In Mark chapter 4, verse 35, and for the sake of time, we won't read it, but it's when Jesus is in the boat with His disciples and the storm comes. And I'll pick it up from verse 39. It says, "Then it arose, and then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, 'Peace, be still.' And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But He said to them, 'Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?' And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, 'Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey Him?'" And so how was Jesus able to speak peace to the storm and it just stopped? Is this, you can't speak something that you don't dwell in. You can't speak something you don't dwell in. If you're in chaos and confusion, you can't tell me how to be in peace. If you have unforgiveness or bitterness, you can't tell me how to love. How can you speak that? And so with peace, Jesus just had this wild, crazy, ridiculous, mind-blowing peace. That even everywhere He went, there is always peace. Because peace is not the absence of conflict, but the presence of God no matter what the conflict. See, we can all have the assurances and insurances from the world and still be anxious, depressed, fearful. Only Jesus brings us the right kind of comfort. Only He brings us the right kind of comfort. The third thing is we follow. We just follow Him. We follow His peace. In Matthew 11:29, it talks about, Jesus says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." He brings comfort to us. And for some of us, we're in these situations right now, and you don't think He's there. But I'm telling you, you just call on His name and He will comfort you. They don't call Him the Prince of Peace for nothing. He's true to His name. He's true to His name. In Psalm 23, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters." And it goes on and on. And for once again, for the sake of time, we won't go through it. But one of the things I just never It just never occurred to me for whatever reason. In Psalm 23, if you read that, it's just all about talking about His peace. Yea, though I go through the valleys of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because He is my peace. His rod and His staff, they comfort me. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Why? Because of His peace. His peace that passes all understanding. And when Jesus was sending out his 12 disciples, and He said, "You go out as sheep among wolves." But how many of us, once again, never occurred to me, sheep really have no teeth. They aren't fast, but they're quiet and they're calm. And when we go out as sheep among wolves, His peace is with us as we walk among the wolves of this world. As we walk among the wolves, His peace is with us. His peace. And it's because of His peace, our trust in Him. And that's why we won't be moved. Though the waves come, though the storms come, I shall not be moved. I think there that is a song. But I shall not be. No, I'm joking. Third thing, and then we're going to close. Jesus, the peacemaker to believers. And as we know, the Bible says that, in the Beatitudes, that blessed are the peacemakers, for theirs are the children of God. And we know that we as Christians are not peacekeepers, we're peacemakers. And Jesus came as a peacemaker for all mankind. And so Jesus brings unity. And just mark these scriptures down and you can read them. Ephesians 2, 21 to 22. 1 Peter 3, 11. Ephesians 4, 3. Ephesians 4, 29, 31. And all these scriptures just talk about the bond of peace, pursuing peace. Ephesians 4, 29, 31 says this, "Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such a word as is good for building up according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice." And so we see that God blesses people that pursue peace, that pursues unity. And He also pursues people that pursue love. At the end of the day, we just have to love. We just have to get along with each other. And not for ourselves, but it's because it pleases the King. It pleases Him. It pleases Him not to have any strife, not have any bitterness, not to have quarrel and talk about each other behind our backs. But we have to come to this place where this love unconditionally just fills our heart. And for the sake of peace, we're going to make this work. For the sake of peace in this church, in your workplaces, in your families, for the sake of peace, I will love unconditionally because it pleases the Father. It pleases the Father. It pleases the Father. I hope you have I hope through looking at Jesus as your Prince of Peace, you find comfort. You find rest. For those of you that your minds are just confused and in chaos, just totally confused about where you're at now. Just call on the Prince of Peace. Just lean on His peace and not the world's peace. Lean on His peace and not the world's peace. So Father, I just thank You that You are the Prince of Peace. And Father, I just pray for those of us that are just going through turmoil. That there's uneasiness, that there's our hearts are unsettled, our minds are unsettled, we're confused, we're anxious, we're worried. Father, I just speak peace. The peace that You give into their situation. Just speak peace over their minds even now. Peace over their hearts right now, oh God. Father, I just pray that we would turn to You, oh God. We would turn from our worldly way of what peace is, and we would just apply what spiritual peace is, the peace that comes from You through Christ. Father, I thank You for Your presence. I just thank You for who You are. Who You are even now. Who You are even now. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, God. There's this old hymn, and I just have a sense just to sing it. It's just an old song. And if those of you that are going through just need peace from Christ, just need that peace, just close your eyes. I actually sing it to my girls at home. And it goes just simple as this. Peace, peace, wonderful peace, coming down from the Father above. Sweep, oh,